she f***ed me over, and she has me waiting around forever. And then to the point that I finally was like, you know what, I'm getting on the train, meet me downtown. So I go downtown. She shows up at almost 2:30 when the bar is going to close at 4.
So she's f***ed up.
She's f***ed up, but she's selfish. And I told her, I said, you know what, just like Ellis, I got to cut you out of my life. It's no good.
This week on All My Children, that shady queen Brian Franz is f***ing up my show. I'm going to break up with you, Brian Franz.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. People were suggesting that maybe we should change the name to reflect
TV and other ephemera. Is that a word, ephemera? That's a word, right? What she could accuse us of is not being positive. So we're going to try to be positive. And what I'm going to say is I'm positive. I hate the show right now. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. Why the F would you bring it?
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Screaming alert. All right, I'm going to try to think of something positive.
Angie Weave is behaving.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson. What? It was hot this week. Well, first of all, I'm going to say it. I'm just going to come out and say it. I am not amused. I don't think Erica Keene's a bitch. I think Julie Ann Krafuthis is a bitch.
Yes. We watch, so you don't have to.
And you're going to have to start paying us for that, because I don't know how much long I can watch with you.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast. Oh, that was smooth and sexy. And this is the... I was feeling like we were on like the Kiss Cool Out. This is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending February 4th, 2011.
Ooh, good old Barry White.
It is the 8th. Something like the 6th week of 2011, and it's our second podcast.
Wow, it goes that weekly podcast, we promise. Woo-hoo. There's only 4 listeners anyway.
But we love all 4 of you very much.
All 4 of you Canadians, we love you.
We adore you. You know what I think is going on? There's a lot of darkness out there right now. We are in the Northeast. For all y'all that have been living under a rock, because I think the whole country at this point has been hit by bad weather. But the Northeast is getting hit really bad. It is the worst I can't remember ever.
It's been a long time.
And it's not even so much like it's the storms are the worst, but they're happening every week. You know, sometimes twice a week. You know what I'm saying? And they're
so
big storms.
It.
We're done.
It leaves me not wanting to do anything. I don't even want to go to the gym.
It's horrible,
it's
right?
It's cold. It's miserable. It's hard to get around the city because I'm a real New Yorker. I walk everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I only take the train if I need to get somewhere by a certain time.
You got
time.
A monthly like, metro, don't you?
No, girl, I don't do a monthly. Oh. I do weekly. I can't do monthly.
Expensive.
Cause yeah, it's not even so much expensive, but you pay that amount of money, and then what happens if you lose it or something? Ooh, no.
I think they have some kind of guarantee with your credit card.
No, I'm not gonna. I don't try.
Right,
I pay cash,
right,
girl.
Right.
I'm like a drug dealer. I pay cash.
But you know, I'm feeling like there's just sort of a general malaise, if you will, over the nation.
This country needs an enema. That's what this country needs.
No,
un volante. Some citroma.
But the Midwest is getting it. The South, Texas is getting snow and crap. Like, I know Texas is big, and I know there are parts that get snow. But, I mean, come on now. Like, major snowstorms and stuff and ice.
Puerto Rico. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if Puerto Rico's had snow.
But, I mean,
storms.
It's really bad. Like, I feel like our soaps are in a malaise.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't agree with that.
Really? You don't think they suck right now?
Well, I got a confession to make. I'm a little bit behind on all my
children.
You
are very behind because I'm wanting to stick needles in my eyeballs every day.
I'm behind on all my children, but I got to tell you, I'm almost caught up with One Life to Live in General Hospital, and it's been a good week at One Life to Live in General Hospital.
I thought you said you had 24 episodes of One Life to Live to watch.
No, I have an episode here or there in the last couple of weeks, but this week I was watching because this week was good.
Oh.
Oh, my God. General Hospital and One Life to Live had banner weeks this week, girl.
And
so did Ryan's Hope.
Oh, that's over. I still have
I'm way behind on Ryan's Hope, but let me tell you something. Every time I try to, like even if I just watch one episode of Ryan's Hope, it's like such joy. You know what I mean?
That's
like
great.
Like I refuse to delete any of them. I got to catch up, though, because I'm a little bit behind. Because the thing is, you know, I told you my DVR, like, I got to make room every night for the shows that I'm taping. So, and then there's certain nighttime shows that I got to catch up on. And then, like, there's certain shows that I left on demand. Uh-huh. So, like, before they get taken off demand, I have to, like last week was all about The Big C with Laura Linney. I had 12 episodes to watch. Because I watched the first episode when it came out, but the rest of the season I didn't. And I only had, like, 2 days. Girl, I sat down and I watched 12 episodes back to back. And let me tell you something. I do not agree with the critics whatsoever. The Big C was one of the most beautiful shows. I laughed. I cried.
Gonna cry right now.
It was like, but see, this is the beauty about nighttime television. And even, you know, we talk about daytime, but even nighttime over a movie. Like, I'm not saying that I don't love movies. Movies are brilliant. You know, but think about it. How many movies do you see nowadays where you could actually say that the story was tight and impact? There's a lot of shitty movies. I can say that, right?
Yes.
That word you won't bleep.
That I won't bleep that word.
There's a lot of shitty movies out there. A lot of people, just like we talk about the fact that daytime no longer knows how to tell stories. I'm sorry, but people that do movies no longer know how to tell stories.
I've seen some good movies in the past.
No, I'm not saying that there aren't any good movies. I'm just saying, as a whole, though, there seems to be a lot more bad movies than there are brilliant movies. You know what I mean? Like movies like that are brilliantly done. I'm not talking about some blockbuster like Iron Man 2 or something like that, some summer block. I'm talking about like a quality movie that's going to stand time. Something like all these classic movies like...
Right.
I'm drawing a blank on these classic movies. Like Rebecca. Well, see, my idea of a classic movies... are different than others, but like Rebecca, like It's a Wonderful Life, you know, these films that are classics that last time, like it's rare. So like for nighttime shows and daytime TV, like you really get the full range of the story. And
are you comparing The Big C to It's a Wonderful Life? I'm just saying.
No, I'm not comparing it. What I'm saying is...
I'm just wondering.
What I'm saying is that it's a story... For those of you who don't know, Big C is Showtime story with Laura Linney, where she plays a woman who finds out that she's terminal with cancer. And, like, the way that I read the creator's viewpoint is that they're hoping that it gets picked up for 4 seasons so that each...
She'll survive for 4 seasons and she'll die.
No. Each year, each season is going to be, like, a season in the year that she's alive. So, like, right now, the first season was during summertime. When they come back next year, it will be fall time. So, it will be 4 years that we watch the show, but it will be 1 year in her life.
Laura Linney better catch up on her Botox.
No, let me tell you something. She gave the most poignant, brilliant, nuanced performance.
She's got to play the same age over 4 years.
I love Laura Linney to death. I think she's one of the...
Don't slap me. I'm not in the mood. I got called a bitch at the post office and I didn't say nothing back. I'm not in the mood to be slapped.
Who called you a bitch at the post office?
A big queen. A big old queen.
Really?
Not kidding.
And you didn't turn around and say, look, queen.
I was so tempted, but you know what? I had a road rage incident literally two days before where a guy and I got so heated that he actually followed me off the exit and I had to call 911. So I decided...
Are you serious?
I'm really serious.
And I thought I had a bad week at work.
I'm telling you, yeah, it was bad. It was bad. I'm Puerto Rican. I have road rage. He tried to go from the middle lane to the exit because there was traffic on the highway. And, you know, it wasn't like I was going too fast, but I'm sure I was going at least 40 miles an hour trying to slow down, trying to be careful. I'm careful now. I'm a careful driver. I'm a mother of 2 kids. I got to be careful. So he swerves over, and he's not clear to go from the middle to the exit. So I put my brakes suddenly, and then the guy behind me almost hit me. The guy behind him almost hit him. So I was pissed. So I didn't even say nothing, Jordan. I didn't even say, like, you asshole. I basically just shook my head and waved my finger, and I said, you shouldn't do that. So he rolled down his window, and I said, you shouldn't do that. And he said, what do you mean I shouldn't do that? I was trying to exit. I said, you were in the middle lane. He said, well, why were you going so fast now? Where you gotta go? He started putting it on me. So I went nuts. I was like, I'm a mother of 2 kids. You almost killed me. He goes, I don't care. You think I care? That's how awful he was. So then I was like, F you. And I swerved over the exit to get into his lane. I cut him off on purpose because he cut me off. So I'm like, screw you. I'm going to cut you off and I'm going to leave. So I'm trying to leave and this guy starts to follow me. So I put my blinkers on and I go to the shoulder hoping that he will pass me and he pulls over. So then I get scared. So I call 911 and I'm driving like 2 miles an hour trying to get off the exit, trying to get him to pass me because there's 1,000 cars behind me, right? And he won't pass me. So I'm freaked out. I had my windows on, my car's, my doors locked. It was like late at night. You know, my man and the kids were home waiting for me and stuff. And finally, you know, he finally pulls up next to me. I finally stop. I finally get off the exit and I stop. He pulls up next to me and I saw it. I said, "You better go." I said, "I got the cops on the phone." And then he went nuts. "My brother's a cop." And he told me the precinct and he started yelling at me. And I said, and I told the lady 911, I said, I guess if your brother's a cop, you get to follow a woman alone in her car and make threats at her and verbally assault her. I guess, and you get to also cut from the middle lane to the exit if your brother's a cop. He was nuts. He was like crazy. And I was crying. I was scared. It was horrible.
I want Rachel McAdams to play you in the movie.
Oh, that's wait. Generous.
Wait, was he Dominican?
No. No, I'm not going to say what he was, but he was definitely ethnic. So it was bad. I'm Dominican too. What are you going to do?
No, you said his brother was a cop. He ain't Dominican. You know I'm only kind of teasing maybe about the Dominicans queen, right
and
now.
And then the queen at the post office had road rage, not even in a car.
Was she Dominican?
She was not. She was a white man with thick horn glasses. He had like 82 boxes. And now, in some ways, I don't blame him. My post office, where I live, it ain't good. There's a line out the door every day, and there's one person helping. And she's like, "Okay, do you want next day priority? Next day priority with whole parcel post." She goes down like a list of 82 options.
That's not just your post office. That's every post office. I'm sorry. For those of you people who work in the post office, if you're any of your listeners, I'm sorry, but here in New York, the people in the post office are horrible. They're lazy. They are slow as hell.
Everywhere else is fine.
They are slow as hell.
It is horrible.
They don't care nothing. That line could be... Sometimes I go and there is no line and I'm still waiting as if there was like 50 people in front of me. It makes no
sense.
Sometimes
so
I walk
true.
In there and I go like this. I go, "Oh, look, there's no line."
And you think you can be out 10 minutes, you're there a half hour, 40 minutes.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. So people get stressed out.
The only thing worse than the post office is the Chase Bank in the Bronx. Oh my God.
I believe it.
Chase Bank in Manhattan.
Wayne Reed's too are not good.
I go to the Chase Bank in Manhattan. Never a line, million tellers, everybody nice and friendly. Go to my borough in the Bronx, ghetto beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
Ghetto beyond, and then, mm-hmm. Oh, my favorite, then catching an attitude with me because I don't speak Spanish fluently. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, mother, this is New York City.
I get that all the time.
Why, I tell them, excuse me, you're in America now, speak English, and I'm sorry.
No, I don't agree with that.
I'm sorry. No, that's not nasty.
I don't agree with that.
You think that it's right for them to give me attitude because I'm not speaking to them Spanish?
I didn't say that, but
they're working in New York City.
Excuse me, you are working.
Yeah.
America is a melting pot.
Yeah, a melting pot where English is the first language. Learn the language, girl.
I'm not saying you shouldn't learn English. I agree with y'all, so don't call sending me emails.
If I go to France and I'm going to tell them, "Excuse me, speak English? Speak English to me."
Listen,
I'm going to go to their country and demand that.
But I get worried about people that say that because that feels a little hateful to me when they say speak English. It almost feels like...
Well, I feel it's hateful when they tell me that because I'm Spanish, I should be ashamed of myself because I don't speak Spanish fluently.
Do they tell you that verbatim?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Okay, that's not right.
They did that to my sister too. My sister went off on the lady. My sister was young and she started crying, but she went off on her because she felt... It's not our fault that our parents did not teach us to speak Spanish fluently.
Absolutely. And my mother cries about that. She cries that that was her biggest mistake.
Oh, my mother does too. And I tell my mother, literally, well, that's your fault.
Every time I talk to her, she's like, I don't want to talk about it. That's my biggest mistake. And she tells me the story every time I say it. She says, when in the 70s, when you were born, she said, they said the teachers told
70s?
Me,
70s?
82.
42.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm an old lady. What can I say? She said back then, the teachers told me that you can't, you know, I can't teach you Spanish and English because you'll get confused and blah, blah, blah. I'm not really doing my mother's accent. She doesn't really have one. She has a New York accent. She doesn't have a Spanish accent.
My parents don't have an accent either. They were right here when they were really young.
Yeah, mine too.
My uncles and my aunts.
Same here, mine too.
Well,
so
no, not
my,
even.
They, no, but they have New York accents like
not
me,
even.
But not
oh,
like Spanish.
My two aunts and my one uncle.
Yeah.
That's weird, though.
So people are bitchy all over the nation. That's what I'm saying. It's really bad right now. I feel depressed. You know what? I'm going to Florida.
Good for you.
I'm seriously getting the hell out of here. This place is crazy. When the guy called me the bitch at the post office, I said, "That's it. I'm done. I'm out."
Yeah, but
I looked at him and I looked at everybody in the place,
Florida
and I said, He just called me a bitch.
Isn't it cold in Florida, too?
This man just called me a bitch. I don't even know him from Adam. I didn't do nothing wrong to him. I was barely even talking to him. The woman told me to put my package where he was.
So that's what you told me?
I put it in. He goes, you just cut me. You're a bitch. I was like, he said, you just cut me. You come in here like you own the place.
And you should have said,
thank you. And I go, what are you talking about? She told me to put my package here. I prepaid it.
I would have said, thank
you. He goes, no, you come in here like you own the place. You're a real bitch. And I said, I was so stunned. I was like, do you hear what this man just called me? I said, mister, there's a lot I could say about you right now that will hurt you, that will wound you to your freaking core. But because I'm bigger than you, I'm a bigger person, I'm not going to ruin your day. I'm not going to ruin your week. I'm going to not say nothing to you because you're disgusting. You're disgusting. That's disgusting to say to a woman. Disgusting. And then the woman says, listen, just take your, what did she say? She's like, just take your package and put it over here. And I was like, I'm not going near him. He's abusive. He goes, what? I'm abusive because I'm going to kill you. It was so weird.
I said that?
I swear to God. It was the weirdest freaking thing. I said, you need therapy or you need church or something like that. I said, whatever the hell is bothering you, I hope you feel better because you are obviously a very sick person. Then I left. And then the teller goes, he goes, man, you got to, to the other guy, you got to relax, man. You can't be doing that. And the guy's like, he gets all nice. He's like, oh, I know. It's just people are so ridiculous. It was so crazy, Jordan. I couldn't get my brain around it the whole weekend. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is going on with this place?
I had a bad week.
It's really weird, right? So I'm going to Florida, getting the hell out of here. It means this is going to be the last podcast for
2011.
No, we'll probably do one when we get back, right? In March.
I guess.
Just listen to the rest of this one. For a long time. Like, maybe do, like, 5 minutes at a time. That way it will last you too much.
What? Okay, wait. So, getting back to Laura Linney, I cannot believe you don't
I'm
like
sorry,
her. But we
I
have...
You all.
We have No. We've already established that we have different tastes in actresses. I love Laura Linney. I think she's one of the greatest American actresses. I adore her. I worship her. I think she's brilliant. And I think The Big C was phenomenal. And I just loved it. I cried. I laughed. I became a part of it.
I think that's a great idea.
Maybe it's because I knew somebody that unfortunately passed away recently due to cancer. I know. If I sound a little down, this is why. And I think maybe that's why it really related to me because I knew somebody that was going through it and stuff. And I actually think
it's a great idea for a show because everybody in this country, like half the people in this country, will get some form of cancer.
But this is why I think the show was so well done and great is because, yeah, Terms of Endearment was a great movie and stuff. But it didn't really deal with the real issues.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, you don't really get the full. Like, this show
Doctors,
really tackled
insurance, all that
the,
stuff. Yeah.
Well, there was this great episode late, like,
you
like
know,
later
access
on.
To care and stuff
yeah,
like that.
There was this great episode where the doctor, where she realized, where the doctor was telling her they're not going to cover this anymore.
Yeah.
Like the issues that they dealt. The scene that killed me the most was that she has this son in the show. Her son is like he's obnoxious for typical obnoxious 14-year-old boy. You know. Yeah. And, like, he doesn't want anything to do with her. He's like, oh, Ma, you're acting crazy. Like, he didn't know. And, you know, she went and she got all her money out of like, that 401k or whatever and everything. Mm-hmm. So the bank was like, you're crazy. She's like, no, I want my money now. And, like, the thing that's so brilliant is that her character was just doing things that she just was like, she didn't care. So when the guy goes to, like, because she had to, like, order him to get her money. It's like, her money. Why? She wants her money. So he gets up from his desk and he had, like a cupcake or something. And she was just looking at it, and she grabbed it, and she ate it. And he walks back in, and she has, like, cream on her side. Like, and he's looking at her, like, he realizes his cupcake got it. He's looking at her, like, she has it all on her side. She's
That's
like, thank
awesome.
You.
I love that.
And I think, what would you do if you found out that you only have a certain amount? So the scene that killed me was that she went out, and, like, at first her doctor thought that she was just wasting money frivolously. And she winds up buying this, like, incredible red, like, sports car or whatever.
With her 401k money?
Yeah, so that's what... And, like, the whole episode, you're thinking, oh, my God, is she, like, losing it? Like, her brother was like, I can't believe you bought that. It's a gas guzzler, da-da-da-da. And then at the end of the episode, she's like at some kind of locker room, right? Like a storage locker room, and the car is in the locker. Like it's one of those big, you know, the big storage units. Mm-hmm. So she puts the car in there.
How do you get a car in a storage unit?
One of those big storage units.
You can't drive it in.
A big storage unit. It's in a small town. It's not like in the city. Fine. It's one of those, like,
because I got one of those things. You can't get no car in there.
No, a big unit. But, you never see units like that.
I've seen units like that, but even to drive it in, you got to put it on a, like, there's a certain area, loading area.
Okay,
that you
anyway.
Couldn't drive a car through.
No, it's on a regular, like, ground level.
Fine, got you.
Anyway,
I know what you're talking about now. Okay,
okay, so she puts the car in there at the end of the episode, and then she, like, has this card, and she puts the card in the windshield, and it's for her son.
Kid.
It's for she. And at first, it said on your 18th birthday, and then
she
realized
it.
Yeah, no, she crossed it out, put 35.
Oh, that's
because she didn't want to get in trouble. And so, at the end of the season, they finally tell him. I think as the season went along, her husband finally found out because they went through hell too. They finally tell the son. And he, of course, he's 14. He doesn't really react. She's a little concerned because he isn't showing any emotion or anything. At one point, he wanted $20 from them, and they didn't give it to him. So he went through her purse to get $20. This was like the final episode. And he finds a key. I'm sorry. So he finds the key, and he figures out where the key's from. And he goes to the storage unit, and he finds the storage unit. And when he opens up the storage unit, it's full of gifts. And she got a gift for his birthday, for Christmas, for his wedding. And he just finally broke down and cried because he realized his mother's not going to be here. And I was a mess. I was just a mess. And see, and this is the thing. It's like, you don't get this from a movie. You can't get this in 2 hours or an hour and 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's like only a TV show where you invest time in these characters can you get this. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the most beautiful moments. I just adore it. I adore the show. I love it. It's my kind of show because I really want to feel. I really want to feel when I'm watching. And this is why I love daytime TV, because nobody does this as well as daytime. And it may not be perfect right now, but there's still some great moments. General Hospital gave me some incredible moments this week. One Life to Live gave me some incredible moments. I'm behind on all my children.
Why? You know how all my children left me feeling this week? Numb.
Well, the last time we talked to you guys, there was a lot of breaking news that happened while we were away. And I'm going to tell you right now, I feel like all my children's been given the death blow by Melissa Claire Egan leaving. I mean, I understand,
that's the,
girl.
That's the story.
She's definitely leaving. It's true. She's gone. I think she tapes her last day next month or something. I'm going to say this right now. I feel like that's the death blow, because this woman has single-handedly been carrying the show for the last year. Since they made her
Insanity.
I never thought I would say that ever in my life. She came a long way from Blandy for you.
Holy cow.
But let me tell you something. For me, it was the death blow, because I don't care about anybody as much as I care about this woman, this character and this woman. And while I agree with everybody that she's playing the hell out of the material that they're giving her, I always feel that it's a slap in the face to us. When you invest in a character being redeemed and you go through this journey.
And she actually got redeemed.
And she got redeemed and she fought. I think it's just a cheap way of writing a character out by making her go back to being insane.
But it's not the same. It's not the same. I'm sorry. It's not the same insane. It's not the same insane.
I know, but it's still...
It's not her in a wedding dress with red stupid lipstick showing up.
It's not as dumb as Pratt was doing it and McTavish. But what I'm saying is, like, I still am disgusted.
It feels real to me.
No, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. But I'm saying I don't have faith in them. And I just feel like I'm enjoying it. But I just feel like at any moment it could still go into McTavish, Pratt territory. The way they wrote out Robin Mattson as Janet.
But it's not really going. The only thing that for me is a little OTT. Over the top, if you will, is it a nail file or is it a knife? Have you seen this knife make an appearance? This nail file?
No, I'm behind.
So that's the only thing that's a little over the top for me. But right now, her paranoia with Marissa and her obsession with Marissa feels very real to me. And it feels like a lot. I know a lot of women who go to that almost that point of crazy over guys and paranoia with the exes and stuff like that.
That aspect, I believe.
The only thing I don't like is JR's response to it. I still don't agree. I still think that even though he's starting to feel like she's crazy and he's still doing things that are... He's not hearing her. And that's driving me nuts.
Yeah, but again...
Like, she's basically saying, like, I want Marissa gone. I want Marissa out of your life. You know, you love her over me, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he keeps making choices that drive Annie crazy. Crazier.
Yeah, but you know what?
I don't mind that. And so innocently, like she's completely sane. Like, she's not a woman who ever used the tire iron. Yeah.
No, I don't mind that. Why? Because he's Adam's son.
He learned from his father. Stupid. He's not that disconnected. Come on.
I don't think JR has grown up at all.
But it's not about growing up. It's about common sense. You don't tell a freaking psycho killer with a tire iron that bludgeon her brother with a tire iron after she's just told you, you are picking her over me. You're hiding me. You don't tell her, look, I can't, you know, you go out through the back door. He literally did that. He told her to go out through the freaking back door after he got his divorce papers. You haven't seen this yet. After he got his divorce papers, after she just told him, you know, and she also revealed to him that she was the one that knocked the girl out. So it's like, it doesn't make, I know it's a soap and it has to be that way because JR has to trigger her and all that crap, but I just wish there was a better way to do it than making him such a dope.
Well, like I said, I feel like her departure is really, like...
You're right.
...just gutting the show. Because the thing is, like...
Tell them what you told me.
About what?
You said you love Kendall, sort of like Rebecca.
Oh, look. No, I don't sort of like Rebecca.
All right, fine. You love Kendall. You think there's some good actresses on the show.
Yeah, but
they couldn't do.
Look, as much as I love my Alicia Minshew...
Love her.
Alicia Minshew could not do what Melissa Claire Egan's doing. Melissa Claire Egan is on a certain level. It takes a certain kind of actress with a certain timing and just a know-it-all kind of like...
She knows how to play it just right. When she was you missed when she was insulting Crystal.
No, I saw that.
I saw that stuff.
How
funny was that?
That I saw, but I'm saying like
and
that.
She does it brilliant. Like
it's never fake. It's always on point.
No, she's great.
She's really, really great. This is why I'm not mad at her because you know what, girl, you're in California now. It's not like you're trapped here in New York. You're where there's nighttime. You need to take the chance because you got the goods. That don't mean you're gonna get it because a lot of talented people leave soaps and it's sad because you think there's people that are gonna make it. Like everybody thought it was gonna
be Henry. Who's the actress?
Kelly Giddish. She's somebody I don't believe that she keeps getting
now.
Work after
that
work.
That girl keeps failing up.
I don't know who she's blowing, but
who
she's
the hell
like,
is she?
She got a show on Fox. It got canceled, and now she has a show on NBC. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
She is not that pretty. She is not that talented.
Well, what about the other girl that you don't like? I don't mind her, but Ashley hated her. Laura Allen, who played Laura.
She's still working?
Girl, that girl always works.
No, she doesn't. She was in a Julia Roberts movie years ago, but...
No, she just had a show on FX last year, Terrier. She was a regular on Terrier. Before that, she was a regular on 4400.
She was
a regular on Dirt.
This girl constantly
is working.
Oh, disgusting.
Meanwhile, Rebecca Budwick could only get like a guest spot on a show that got canceled. I don't even think that episode ever aired.
She was on a sitcom, and we saw if you YouTube it, people, she was god-awful on that show.
Who?
She has no timing.
Rebecca Budwick?
Rebecca doesn't know comedy.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be honest
with
you.
You got to be big in a sitcom. Right. You got to be big and crazy.
I'm
going to
shock
time.
All of you. I'm going to shock all of you. I don't really like Rebecca Budding. And I'm going to tell you why. No,
that's
I'm going to say why.
I'm not saying
Greenlee. I'm saying Rebecca Budding. She used to play Michelle. The first time I ever saw her, she was Michelle on Guiding Light.
Yes.
I hated her.
She was terrible.
The only reason she's not my least favorite Michelle is because the last Michelle, Nancy St. Aublin, that girl was like walking sleeping pill. Every time she'd come on air, I would fall asleep. Like literally, I would knock out. Like She wouldn't have to speak. Like she just come on the screen and I go. Like she was the most boringest. How this girl got like the role in Guiding Light is beyond me. So she's definitely the worst Michelle. Rebecca Budwick wasn't that bad. The only reason that I even like Rebecca Budwick is because your man
Budding
whatever your man made her good.
Josh Duhamel
made this girl good.
He is 100% right.
He carried her. He made her. He's so good that he made her be a better actress. Can she learned you? From him.
I don't want to interrupt you because I'm constantly doing that. And the viewers and the listeners get so mad. They get pissed. But I'm going to add to that because that's a brilliant, astute comment. The girl, I remember she never used to be able to cry on camera. She could never cry on camera. And I was like, when Leo dies, this girl's effed. Because what's she going to do?
Exactly.
And she was brilliant. She cried from the ceiling to the floor, up the walls, around the room. She threw herself.
You know why?
Why?
Because she was saying, damn it, they're going to fire me in a month. They're going to realize I'm nothing without him.
No, she did great. She honestly did great, and I was shocked. And then after that, it was never a problem.
Yeah.
And after that, she was a better actress.
But you know what? After Leo, I had no use for her or the character. And I've never had the use for her or the character. I really haven't. The only reason that I'm finding her interesting
now... You mean you didn't love her with Juan Pablo?
I didn't like her with Juan Pablo, Juan Bobo, Juan Carlo, all those Juans that she was with. They were like, how many Juans? Juan Bobo, Juan Carlo, Juan Diego.
Juan Bobo's my favorite.
Juan Bobo.
Favorite Juan.
Oh, my God. So, wait, no. I actually am finding the little Ryan Madison thing interesting because it seems now that Ryan and Madison belong together and Green, I like the fact that Greenlee's being a bitch trying to scheme with Scott to like, that I find interesting because that's more Greenlee to me. I'm not saying I love it, Ashley. I'm just saying this is better than nauseating. Ryan and Greenlee belong together.
Boring, boring. I'm sorry, I never had use for Madison. I still don't. She was redeemed to me. The only thing that was good that I liked that you haven't seen yet, Scott brings her back to his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
She rescues Kendall, which is a whole, another ridiculous story.
I'm sorry, I'm
story.
Loving him as Scott. I'm adoring him as Scott.
And you're going to like these scenes because they felt to me. He brings her back to his apartment. And now he's poor, right?
Uh-huh.
So he's living in this apartment that's like a total bachelor pad. Like there's crap everywhere. There's pizza boxes everywhere. And it's just a mess. And there's soda cans and two beers in the empty fridge. It's really funny. And I really liked it, number one, because it felt like old time On My Children. Like, remember when there actually used to be poor people on All My Children? Mm-hmm. And they used to have apartments that looked like normal people apartments. And I loved it. And it felt like that to me. Like, even the wall color was like this weird green color, you know? And then he sits down with Madison and they start to make out like they're going to make love. And, you know, it was weird because she's pregnant. And I'm telling you, I know I talk about being pregnant all the time, but I can't even imagine someone touch. I couldn't imagine my man touching me, let alone like a new lover touching me when I was pregnant. Stevie. It's weird, right? It's a little weird.
Ugh.
But at least she felt realistic about it. She stopped, you know, and she said it's because I'm fat and bloated and pregnant, right? You know, and it's like all that stuff actually took me back a little bit to old time On My Children because it felt real, it felt natural.
I'm looking forward to this.
It was good.
Well, I'll tell you what scenes I did like. His first day at the job I thought was ridiculous. When he was first working at the hospital.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
You're going to tell me that he doesn't have an office? You're going to tell me that you people put him on a laptop in the lobby?
Yeah.
I understand about your budget
cuts. Jay keeps talking about budget cuts.
Obviously, there's a lot of budget cuts in the hospital. if his job is, he has a laptop, there's a seat. I thought those seats were ridiculous. I was just
You know, they're using tissue paper and tape for Band-Aids.
I thought those scenes were... Was it just me? I thought those scenes were wretched.
Horrible.
I mean, not... Daniel Cosgrove can play the hell out of anything, but it just was so unbelievable.
I love him.
The fact that Jake was telling him, like, here's a laptop... Do this, do that. Yeah, it's just insane. All My Children, you couldn't afford like 2 walls and a desk to make it a cubicle that he had or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I see stuff like that, it just breaks the reality for me because I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
This is stupid. This reminds me of when General Hospital, when they were having some kind of budget crisis and every scene took place in the waterfront. No matter what was going on, you found out your husband, the way All My Children, everything was taking place in the hospital that one year that everything was going on in the hospital.
Yes.
General Hospital had a year where everything was going on in the waterfront. Everything.
Even though it was called General Hospital.
She conceived. She gave birth. She raised a child on the waterfront. It's just like everything happened on this little where the boat goes out to Cassadine Island.
Was that a Brian Franz idea?
Probably, girl. I don't know. I'm just right now. I got to tell you guys, between the rumors of McTavish coming back and now Melissa Clay Egan
hasn't
leaving, I'm
been squashed that rumor.
I don't know. I don't know. I just know that I'm really, I hate to say it because it's going to break my heart, but I'm losing hope. I'm losing hope again. After having...
I am too.
I just don't
it's
see it.
It's not feeling good.
I don't see it. With Melissa Clay Egan gone, I don't see it. Look, I'm going to tell you, I love that girl when she was on As the World Turns. New Marissa is not working for me. And it's not her. I got to give the girl credit. She is trying with all her heart. But girl, you got to talk to hair and makeup because they're making you look like Bozo the Clown.
Well, I don't know.
Why are they making her look so ugly?
I don't know. I don't know what she looked like before.
No, you got to go YouTube her As the World Turns. She is such a beautiful girl. I was so excited. You knew how excited I was when I heard she got the role. And then she comes in All My Children and she's looking like Snatchily from One Life to Live.
Yeah,
and then
bad.
The episode for Damon's Going Away Party. What was that? She looked like Bozo the Clown.
Well,
she had her hair all curly and then it was pulled on one side called Monio. And then she had all this dark makeup on her eyes and her skin was all alabaster. She looked like a geisha or
they
something.
They put her in bad colors too.
They really do. They make her look very washed out. She looks horrible.
Colors, yeah.
She looks so horrible. So I can't even get past her acting because I can't look at her.
He looks like he's crying.
Because I feel bad because I feel like this girl's really trying on Target. They're really. I mean, no.
Can I tell you what's bad about Marissa?
What?
Her acting.
She's. No, you know.
She's terrible. No, you know I'm sorry. You know I don't think she's very good.
You know what I think it is?
She's not good.
Yes, she is.
She ain't good.
She's better than old Marissa.
That's not a high bar to
Look,
surpass.
You know what it is? I think, and I'm going to tell it like it is. I think that she...
Don't hold back, Jordan Hudson. We know you tend to hold back and smooth things out.
I think what it
out.
Is because... We've talked about this before. Ashley has said it, and I agree with Ashley.
Buck teeth?
No.
Big eyes?
No.
No eyebrows?
No. There really is no point to this character. This
Thank
was an
you.
Ill-conceived character.
Thank you.
It has always been an ill-conceived character. There's
Thank
no
you.
Dimension to this character.
Thank you.
We never saw any
no
real
chemistry.
Episodes. We never saw any real episodes where her character bonded to David and Crystal and her parents.
Or
We're
her
just
son.
Supposed to assume... That
yes.
that you know that yes. that she all of a sudden decided these are my parents.
Yes,
there was never no real storyline about her coming to grips and terms with it. Like all of a sudden it's just like, okay, you're my mom and you're my dad, just because you gave birth to me. Sorry, people, but biology is just one aspect of being a parent. It's not the all end all. Just because somebody gave birth to you, don't make them your mother. Your mother is the person who's there for you when you have a fever of 105, who's there for you when you skin your knee, who's Aww. There for you when your heart gets broken. That's your mother. Just because she put you out of her vajayjay, don't make her your mother.
He actually motioned to his groin area.
No, because it's true. It's just like, so, I mean, I think that this poor actress wants this job. She's trying to make it work, and I think she's overcompensating for the fact that there really isn't anything there.
There's no there.
So she's
I agree with that.
So she's pushing and forcing.
There's no character.
There's
no
character. She's trying to make something out of nothing. So I feel bad for her. I was watching her and I feel bad for her because
I
disagree with you about her acting because I think there was some fight scenes that she had with Annie at David's party and when she went to JR and told JR about it, I thought she was really good. I was like, Marissa couldn't have done
Can
that.
Can I tell you something?
Marissa couldn't
Can
have
I
done
tell
that.
You something?
What?
She got no take on a character. I'm sorry, she doesn't. If there's no character there, you gotta freaking make it up. That's it. Can I tell you something?
What?
Kara, there's not much. I mean, there is. There's a little more.
I love her.
There's a little more like spunk to the character, but she's bringing a lot to the table.
No, you're right. She is.
She's bringing a lot of her own flair and her own. And Scott, too.
Yeah.
Scott, the actor General Cosgrove, I'm sorry. He's not written on the page the way Daniel Cosgrove is playing him. Daniel Cosgrove has a take. It's his art. That's why he's an artist. He's got a take, and that's what he's doing. I'm sorry. I don't think the Marissa has any take. I think she's being lazy.
I wouldn't say she's being lazy. I think this really is really ill.
She doesn't have the capability. Then make it up. You got to make it up.
Well, look,
it's your job.
I'm loving the Spanish brother and sister. I'm loving that priest.
I'm not loving Kara, even though I think she's very good. Not loving her.
I'm loving her. I...
Too skinny.
She's
anorexic, people. I'm sorry, she is. Nobody's. That's the elephant on the wall. She's anorexic.
Well, that's what my children's thing. They love hiring those skinny
girls.
I have
a friend out in California that, I don't know if she still is, but she was. And her body is exactly like Kara's. It's like a little girl with a big-ass head that's all sucked in. Her eyes are popping out.
And big boobs.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't, but this girl, those fake. They're fake boobs.
You think?
Absolutely.
Really?
If you're 82 pounds, you don't got...
I want to know.
That.
Can I feel your boobs? I want to feel
they're
real.
She would let you.
No, she's married.
Oh, she married?
Yeah, her husband plays Green Arrow in Smallville.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to be, they met on Passions. They used to work on Passions, the two of them.
I sort of like her, but she's distracting to me. I don't know.
I like her, but in no way do I think she can replace Marissa Clare Egan.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're going to have a big void without Annie being there.
You are right, Jordan Hudson.
And I don't know if it was Shadow. No, I don't think, was it Shadow or was it Amphitron or... So, someone in our blog, I think it was Shadow. I don't know. One of our four listeners on our blog said, it's a real shame when you think of a character like Annie who's only been on the show for 4 years as a legacy character. And it's true. It's like, she's only been on the show for 4 years, but yet she's our idea of like old school My Children. She's like, a classic character.
How many years has she been on?
Only four.
Shut up.
It feels like longer, doesn't it?
Oh my God, it feels like forever.
And it's a sad state, but this is the state that All My Children's in. Because you know why? Because a lot of the characters that they've been bringing on have not been that interesting, have not been. Like, we still, and I agree with her, I love Stephanie, but there's never been no point for Madison. We finally got rid of Natalia, Jesse's daughter. That was another ill-conceived character. I'm sorry, I'm not going to miss her. I just don't.
What
never
are they
saw
doing
a purpose for the character, huh?
What are they doing with Brat?
He'll vanish into the woodworks.
Yeah, right.
He'll be like, what's his name?
He is the sweetest person ever, but I just never got into his pairing with her. I tried, but I didn't.
But I told you why that was.
Why?
Because the writers didn't give them a storyline. You don't show people once every 5 months and think they were going to invest in them. That's the reason so many ethnic characters, when they bring on black characters on soaps, that's why it always kind of fails. Because One Life to Live did that too, because they never gave the guy you like, Destiny's father, they never give Greg and Rachel the kind of airtime that they give like Snatchley and her man. You see what I'm saying?
How do you expect
the audience as a whole to invest when you're not giving them that kind of airtime?
Mm-hmm.
Jesse and Angie were popular because they had as much airtime, if not more so, than Greg and Jenny. Sometimes they have more airtime than Greg and Jenny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
But that's not why they were popular. They were popular because they were, first of all, the chemistry was amazing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying,
the dynamic was perfect. It was the little rich girl with the guy from the hood and the father.
I mean, all that stuff
was magic.
But if they would have given Brat and her that kind of time and depth, they could have been good.
But never a Jesse and Angie. Jesse is a spectacular. What's the hell's
his
name?
No, I'm not saying that they got the same
kind of talent, girl. Debbie, what's his person? And Darnell Williams. I mean, they are just fantastic actors.
You're getting me confused. I'm not comparing their talent to them.
But they couldn't have had, you know, Natalia's good, but I'm just saying for the audience to be invested in them. They have to be good actors.
They have to... Anyway,
he's so pissed at me right now.
Moving on.
You can slap me once and it'll make you feel better.
Moving on. What else we got to talk about, Rachel? What else has been going on? I thought there was more behind the scenes. Damon's gone.
My love.
Not amused about that.
My love.
Not amused about that.
I stopped having sex dreams about him ever since he left my
makes,
all my children.
Makes no sense. He's gone, but whatever.
Do you ever see the commercial for Mr. Sunshine? The new show on ABC? Or what's her face? What's the actress, the brilliant actress?
Allison Janney.
Yeah, Allison Janney.
You know where she got her start, right?
A soap operas?
Guiding Light.
She was a maid.
She played Alexandra...
She was maid, right?
Alexandra Spalding's maid, yeah.
And she used to go to the theater at night. She would do the maid during the day and the theater at night. Yep. I love her so much. What did she say?
Yeah, I...
No, but what did she say in the commercial? She's, who's the Oh, she said something about John Cougar Mellon Camp is playing here next week. I would please tell him that I'd very much like to make love to him. I loved it. I thought it was funny. I didn't do it half.
I didn't do it
100 as funny as she is, but she's so funny. That's how I feel about Damon. Please just after the plays, Damon, please just tell him Ashton Mendoza would very much like to make love to him.
I can't get into Mr. Sunshine. I don't like Matthew Perry that much.
Well, I never turned it on.
What is up with these guys from Friends? They look like they're 109.
Because
the women look great.
Too hard.
Courtney Cox looks great. Jennifer Aniston looks great.
Because they all did cocaine
Matthew Perry,
and they drank too
Matthew
much.
Perry, and what's the other one's name? The Italian one?
Yeah, Joey guy.
Ooh, they did not age well.
Because they drank and partied all their freaking money away.
He looks awful.
Thank God Matthew Perry
I'm so
is sober
upset.
Now.
I'm sure. What's her name? Who's Courtney Cox must be pissed too that they bumped her show for his show. He took over her slot. I was just like, ugh. I'm not that. That's one less half hour for me to watch.
I tried so hard to love her show. Cougar I Town? Really did. It didn't.
I'm not going to lie. The problem. I'm going to tell you what the problem with Cougar Town is. Cougar Town, for those of you who are fans of Scrubs, is by the same people that did Scrubs, the same creator of Scrubs.
Very well done.
And Cougar Town has the kind of elements that I liked about Scrubs. The problem with Cougar Town is that sometimes the episodes are very unevenly written in the sense that, like, what made Scrubs funny was that even though there were all these, like, one-liners and stuff, there was always, like, a story that it was built about in a heart.
Yes.
And sometimes with Cougar Town, you feel like you're just watching one-liners.
You're just sometimes watching comedy.
You're just watching, like, these, like, little funny little
things.
You're
not invested in.
And there's no brilliant. So sometimes the episodes, depending on who's writing it, like, when there's a story attached to it, then I enjoy it. But when I feel like it's just you just trying to be funny with all these crazy, like, quirky things, then I'm not necessarily bored, but it's just like I can't get invested in that. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to lie. Right now, if I had to choose between the three of them, I would give up Cougar Town before I give up The Middle or Modern Family. I love The Middle or Modern Family.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to watch Mr. Sunshine. I love Off the Map, the new show from Shonda Rhimes didn't create the show. She's an executive producer. But I'll tell you, this show is more the child of Grey's Anatomy than Private Practice ever was. I love me my Off the Map. Loving that. Mm-hmm. You know what I was going to say about the big C? They need to make me a casting director. You know who I thought would have been really good in the big C?
You mean instead of Laura Linney?
Instead of Laura Linney? Florencia Lozano, Thea from One Night to Live. I think she would have. Oh my God.
I think she's brilliant. I worry that she. What? He's looking at me bad. Oh, he's going to slap me so hard.
Don't you dare say anything about her.
Okay, this is the
that
first.
That is one thing I will never let you allow. You, there is nothing bad you can ever say about my Florencia Lozano.
How about this? I won't say bad thing. I'll tell you what I think she might have been tempted to do with the role. Sentimentalize it, maybe?
No. No, Florencia. No, Florencia is a great actress. She
might have cried her way through it.
No, she wouldn't. No, she wouldn't. Because she didn't do that on One Night to Live.
You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because she's so connected to all of those damn feelings in a way that most human beings are not.
I think that this, if she would have gotten the role in the big C, she would have showcased herself. Like this would have been. See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, these actresses on daytime.
She's brilliant.
Right now,
don't get me wrong.
I'm gonna tell
you
right now.
Don't mishear me.
I can't. We can't talk about All My Children anymore. So if you guys want to tune out because I got to get onto One Night to Live.
No. Right, I know you got to go, but I do want to say a couple things about All My Children.
What?
Well, Melissa mentioned it.
What?
Why is Dr. Castillo wearing jeans? That's disgusting. He's a doctor. The point is scrubs.
I need to break it to you. I see doctors in jeans all the time.
But can I tell you, I read an article once that hospitals are actually filthy in New York City because people go back and forth on the train in their scrubs and don't wash them and come back the next day and they're filthy. Doctors should be wearing clean scrubs every day. Disgusting. I'm sorry. It's disgusting.
Yeah, but his ass looks good in those jeans.
Yeah, fine.
That's why, Melissa. That's why.
That must piss Jake off, the actor that plays Jake, Ricky Paul Golden, that he gets to wear these sexy jeans and Ricky Paul Golden gets stuck
well,
in the dump.
Ricky Paul Golden should go do some lunges and squats at the gym.
What's happening with Chrishell?
She's not on contract.
That's all there is to it?
I don't think she's not in the opening credits.
So what's happening with her? Nobody knows.
I don't know. Supposedly, has Real Andrew showed up, the hot black guy?
No.
This is supposed to be in her storyline?
I don't see good things. You're right.
I don't. Guys, I got to tell you. Remember last podcast, I was loving me and all my children? In between that last podcast and this podcast, we found that Melissa Claire Egan's leaving, and I've given up hope. I really have. I'm really disappointed. I don't feel. See, this is the difference between. I'm not going to say that I like everything that's going on One Night to Live, but at least One Night to Live doesn't have these kind of loves. They know where they're going. They're telling a story. You may not like all the choices that they make. But at least something's happening every day.
We've got Angie is in France, pregnant. Well, that's because 82 years old and pregnant in France.
That's because Debbie Morgan has Lyme disease. All right, fine.
I get it, but still ridiculous. So that's ridiculous.
So that means no Jesse.
We've got no Damon. We've got very curvilicious Banks with no freaking storyline.
But see, this is what I got to tell you. This is another thing that was a blow for me. I invested in Damon's character. I invested in him and Tad and the whole thing.
So did Mikey Knight.
And you know what? I feel like you slapped me in the face, all my children. Mm-hmm. You slapped me in the face. Here I am supporting you, telling people tune back in, watch the show. I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. And I was. And then the things that I'm loving, you got rid of.
And then we get David is alive, which is a big fat yawn.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that either.
Erica over Kendall.
We've been there, done Kendall's that. All been there, done
psycho,
that.
Psycho head trippy over the fact that she doesn't remember. That the she only thing him, that I'm looking that forward to
is the triangle between the priest, the doctor, and Kendall.
Even that is starting to. I'm starting to get bored waiting for it to happen.
Well, they got to give it some time, but I want it to happen because he's Puerto Rican.
He asked her out on a date.
The priest?
Mm-hmm.
They can't go on dates.
He's not a priest. He's a reverend.
Oh, really?
And it wasn't really like a date. He claims it wasn't a date, that it was just a going out thing.
I don't know nothing about religion, so I don't know. So reverends can date?
Yeah.
I know nothing about religion, yeah, really, seriously. Hot.
Yes.
And he's Puerto Rican. I found out he's Puerto Rican.
In real life?
Yeah.
Really?
He's one of my people. Oh!
It's so funny because all the Latinos that they cast on TV as Latino, I always get pissed off because they don't look that Latino.
No.
Florencia doesn't look that Latina to me, and he doesn't look that Latino.
And what does a Latina look like? And what does a Latino look like?
Jennifer Lopez?
No, that's what a ghetto Latina.
ghetto. We gotta talk about Idol a little bit.
I tuned in like a couple of seconds here and there. Because my mom and my papa love it because, you know, they're big Jennifer Lopez fans. My parents are so ghetto like that. Like, just because she's Puerto Rican, like, they're proud of her. I'm like, I'm not proud of her. She's annoying.
I'll tell you the truth. After I saw one episode and her purple oval nails, I got a manicure for the first time in 6 months. And I did it oval shape because I thought that was cool. That's because of Jennifer Lopez.
Look, I'm going to say this.
That's about all I got.
I'm going to say
American
this.
Idol.
Oh, you don't like it?
It's boring. It's boring without Simon. I'm sorry. It just is.
But I'm going to say this. From the
who
little
cares? Steven Tyler's a little crazy. Jennifer Lopez, she's pretty nice, but, you know,
whatever. From the little bit that I saw, I think it's much, much better than it really was, honestly.
Really?
Look.
It's getting worse ratings, much worse.
Yeah, but they're still the highest rated show. I mean, it's not as high. But no, but I just read this week that the ratings have gone up. People are tuning in again.
Still not like last year or the year before.
I'm going to say this, though. She's found her niche. I think she's good at this.
I think so, too. I don't have a problem with her.
She's good. She's very good.
She's beautiful, too. She's nice to look at. I like looking at her. I like looking at her clothes. I like looking at her outfits. And I like her passion for it. I really do.
Yeah, yeah. I think she loves her kids, you can tell. Yeah, I think this is, like I said, my parents were showing me bits and pieces here, and I actually think she's really good. I got to tell you, the show became a bit of a caricature.
Never be a Simon Cowell. Nobody will ever be a Simon
Cowell. No, nobody's going to. But it's not supposed to be about replacing Simon. I think the problem was that the show really got to the point where it was just about Simon being nasty.
I don't think so.
I think. I think that's what people were tuning in for. I think that's what it was just like. And it just got away from the heart of the show. I think they got back. I mean, I'm not investing in the show because Simon isn't there. I had given up the show a couple of seasons ago. I just got fed up, not because of the judges, but because I felt like they were bringing all these people that were not even talented were getting through.
Yeah.
I mean, these people that win. I mean, Taylor Hicks.
Yeah, he was awful.
You know?
I voted for him, too. But he was the best of a pretty mangy crop.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it just...
That Catherine, whatever that he beat.
You want me to watch. Get some talented people. My sister watches the show on NBC, the sing-off or something, the acapella groups. These people are amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's different, Papi. That is different.
The singers, Ashley. The singers.
But a singer is not a star, necessarily. You could sing better than anybody out there, and if you're not a star, it doesn't matter.
Star quality. All right.
You can't take a hold of that mic and make someone feel something just because you stood in front of it. It's over.
Okay, so let's talk about General Hospital real quick.
We finished talking about One Life to Live?
No, I'm going to get back to One Life to Live. Let's talk about General Hospital
real quick. Fine.
Because you don't watch it.
Has Laura Wright. I love her so much.
Okay, I got to say this.
Can I just preface this, people? I don't watch one episode. I've watched maybe one episode the past year of General Hospital.
Tonight, DVR. They're going to show the whole week.
I can't. I'm going to Florida with two Tyler twins in the morning.
All right,
anyway. But let me say this. I live for Jordan Hudson's recaps of Ms. Laura Wright because I picture in my mind and I love her so much. I think she's so amazing and it makes me weep him just retelling it. So hang on to your seats. If you're in your car, make sure you got your seatbelt on.
First of all, I got to say this about Laura Wright. If there is anybody who has any doubts that this woman is the definitive Carly and what a powerful, fierce actress she is, all you had to do is watch General Hospital this week. The storyline finally came to a head this week. And even, and I feel bad for nicknaming him Chaka from Land of the Lost, he has stepped up his game and he has proven that he is now Michael.
Is he making love to the prostitute girl?
No, no, not yet. What happened was her ex-boyfriend came back to town.
Stripper, whatever.
Abby's ex-boyfriend came to town. And he, of course, was frustrated that she would not take him back. It was an abusive relationship. She dumped him 2 years ago. He tried to rape her in the alley. And Michael overheard her screams and came. And when Michael saw him trying to rape Abby, he flashed back to his time in prison where he was raped. So General Hospital went there.
It triggered. Awesome.
It triggered a release in him. And, of course, he went ballistic and started beating the guy up.
Chills.
Jason grabbed him, stopped him from killing the guy.
Chills.
Yes, it was really brilliant writing. Brilliant. The girl who played Abby was phenomenal. I really believe that this girl was getting attacked. I mean, you have to see how brilliant this girl was.
My nipples are hard. I'm sorry.
As how excited I am. She was so brilliant. I actually thought that she was freaking attacked. She was so brilliant, like playing this woman who just got like attacked. So, to make a long story short, Jason called Dante, his brother, Sonny's other son, the cop. Dante was like, no. He goes, you got to get Michael out of here. He'll go to prison again. Dante's like, no, he did the right thing. They can't look at it that way. Trust me, let him get the credit for doing something good. So, they took Abby to the hospital. They told Abby, you're going to have to make a report so that they know that what Michael did was, you know, out of defense for you, saving you. She's like, of course, I'm going to do it for him. But she was traumatized herself. Mm-hmm. Michael starts talking to Jason back at the loft about what happened. And because of this incident that he saw, it finally broke down the walls for him to admit to Michael, to Jason that he was raped. And Ashley, when I tell you how brilliant these scenes were, this kid was, I said, I feel so sorry for calling you Chaka because you have proven yourself as an actor. Mm-hmm. He was so brilliant and so raw, and the camera was a tight shot on him sitting on the sofa, and he wasn't looking at the camera. He was down like this, covering his head, and he's telling Jason, you know, I understand. I'm afraid that she isn't telling what really happened because she kept saying, I wasn't raped. You stopped him before he could do it. But he's like, I think she's in denial. I think she's ashamed and she doesn't want to admit it because that's what happens, you know? Jason, Stephen Byrne, who plays Jason, is looking at him and it's a tight shot of him and he's getting like teary because he knows what's coming. He's like, he goes, and I know because I was raped. And I was like, I was crying up a storm. And then they came back.
Damn it.
They came back. My God. And he tells Jason, he's like, you knew, didn't you? You knew. And Jason, he goes, you knew what happened to me. And Jason goes, no, I knew, I suspected, but I couldn't until you confirmed it and told me. So, like, he's finally, like, telling, you know, Jason what happened. And he's like, of course, like, you know, I should have been able to stop him. And Jason's like, no. He goes, you know, you're young. There was nothing you could do. And he's like, no, but you wouldn't have let it happen to you. And Jason's like, no. He goes, when I was your age, he goes, what I would have done is run away. Because that's what I always did when things got tough. Mm-hmm. He goes, I'm so impressed with you that you're able to pull yourself.
Which one is Jason again?
Steve Burton, Bill, blonde guy. Sonny's right.
Got him.
So he's like. But
he's with Kelly Monaco.
Yes. Yeah. And he's also like a surrogate father to mm-hmm. Because before Michael. Carly got with Sonny, Jason was like raising the boy.
Yeah.
Before
right.
Sonny
That's
married
right.
him when he was a baby. And also Jason's his biological uncle because his real father is AJ Quartermain, Jason's brother.
Gotcha.
So he told him, he goes, you know, I used to run away when I remember the fact that you're still here and that you're putting your life together. I'm so proud of you. So meanwhile, while all this is going on, Carly found out that Jax lied to her, that he went again to help Brenda. So she's over Jax. She told him she wanted a divorce. And Laura Wright was so good. So Laura Wright comes over, of course, because what Carly does is she goes to Jason whenever she has problems. So she's banging on the door as Michael's confessing. So Michael runs and says, you can't tell I'm here. Mm-hmm. So he goes running upstairs. And Jason, of course, is like, And it was just such brilliant writing and acting, because he obviously knows that he's at this critical point with Michael, mm-hmm. you know, so he's trying to get Carly out of the apartment so to deal with Michael. And he's like, look, I can't help you right now. Mm-hmm. He goes, you got to go. Whatever's going on, I will be there for you tomorrow. But you got to go now, Carly, please. And she's like, hurt. Mm-hmm. And Laura Wright's so good, because, you know, Carly, see, this is what I'm saying. And a lesser actress would have been all over the place. Laura Wright knows when she has to play Carly all over the place, and when she has to tone it down, when she has to be totally different, when she has to be a mother, when she has to be a wife. When, you know, she is just that brilliant of an actress.
Right, right.
So she played this hurt in Carly. She's like, you're throwing me out? Wasn't mad at him or so. She was actually hurt that Jason wasn't going to be there for her. So Michael comes down, and he's like, no, he's covering for me. And she's shocked that he's there, and he starts to tell her. And Ashley, the look on her face, and she played it so, because she could have done it.
That mean he started to tell that she was, he was raped.
And she could have played it over the top. She could have been dramatic, tears. She knew as an actress, this is his moment.
Of course.
I'm there to support him.
Of course. She has to hold it together for his sake.
Yeah, and she looked at him, and she just hugged him like a mother would hug a child. And she's just like, you're going to be okay. She goes, you're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. You're going to be okay. And like,
and think
she
about
acted
this.
So un-Carly-like that it was beautifully done. Beautiful writing, beautiful
and
acting.
And as knowing Carly and what Carly is and how she is and the person that she is, she must have been feeling such rage inside.
Oh,
I'm
going to
cry for someone hurting her son that way.
My way.
And violating her son that way. And she was able to hold it together for him. That's freaking powerful.
Let me
stuff.
Tell you, she was brilliant.
Why
she
are
was,
people not screaming about, I've heard people mixed about GH.
Well, the thing is, you know what, like some of our bloggers said, GH is, for all these great moments, there's a lot of bad moments.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of bad storytelling. Because just like I was telling you about, or like you need to give airtime to certain storylines, there's two hot couples. I feel two hot couples in General Hospital. They get little bits here and there, and it's not really a real committed storyline. No, Nicholas and Brooklyn. And the hot Steve and Olivia. Steve and Olivia are older characters. They're like in their 40s. Let me tell you something. I'd rather be seeing these two go at it than any little twinks. Let me tell you, they are hot. When Steve and Olivia get together.
And Natalia.
Ooh, Steve and Olivia get together, I get all melty. But anyway, while all this is going on, Jonathan Jackson, who plays Lucky, and the new girl, Siobhan, his Irish girlfriend.
Oh, but we're going to talk about the other girl.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that. See, that's the other thing. So they're having their own hot. This was a hot week for General Hospital. I was all over the place with General Hospital this week. But so as the week went on, he confessed to Abby. He told the girl that he loves Abby what happened to him. So now he's opening up. It's brilliant writing. The best was Thursday's episode. Carly went to confront Dante because Sonny's son Dante is responsible for Michael going to prison.
Okay.
When he told Dante what happened to him, the look on Dante's face.
That's the husky guy?
The
brown
Sonny,
hair?
Yeah, the little one.
That turned
out
like a shot?
Yes. Yeah, by Sonny.
Yeah.
He was so, like, shell-shocked, and he blames himself. And Michael's like, don't blame yourself. You know, it had nothing to do with you. Franco sent this guy after me to get to Jason. If it wouldn't have been, you know, and, like, he goes, yeah, but if you wouldn't have gone to Pennville, this wouldn't have happened to you. So when Carly went to confront him, and, again, Laura Wright played it beautifully because she could have been all over the place. She looked at Dante and she goes, this is your fault. She goes, I don't know how you can live with yourself. She goes, you hypocrite. She goes, you cover up Brenda murdering somebody a few years ago. You cover that up for Brenda. And then when Michael murders Claudia to protect me and his sister, you tell him to go confess and he gets sent to jail.
Wow.
She goes, you hypocrite.
Damn.
You lying hypocrite.
She must be so happy when she opens her script every day.
You can burn. You should burn in hell. For what happened to my son. She goes, and she picked up his gun. He had his gun because he's a cop. He had his gun. She picked it up. She goes, you should burn in hell. And that's the way Thursday's episode. I'm going to go home and see Friday's episode. Girl, let me tell you. I was like all over the place. And then Lucky and Siobhan crying up a storm. Siobhan finally confessed to Lucky that she's been working with the Balkan. He's been forcing her to work. This girl is so brilliant. I understand why they put her on contract, why they want her. I am very upset with the fact that they fired Rebecca Hurst, who plays... Elizabeth.
Give me the equivalent. People are saying it's like the equivalent of killing Dixie from All My Children.
Yeah, yeah. Because the thing is, I understand why they're doing it. People,
why?
Money. This girl has been on the show for 14 years.
Oh.
They need money. They need money.
Can't they get it somewhere else?
No, because a lot of these other people have come and gone. She's been on the show for 14 years.
Did you hear what Rebecca Budig's rumored salary is every year?
What?
$1 million.
She don't deserve that.
Crazy, right?
That's why that show's broke.
Yeah.
But they probably got rid of her for money reasons. I hate when they use the excuse that there's nowhere else to go with the character. You know what? Only your lack of imagination keeps you from creating a character.
I believe the term is storyline dictated.
This character's in a position where she can go back to her roots and be a bitch. Because when her character first came on the show, her character was a bitch. Just like Marty, her character was a bitch. She got raped and she became a heroine. You know? But her character is in a position now where both the men in her life are with other women. This is perfect storytelling. She should be a thorn in Lucky and Siobhan's side and Nicholas. And I've been enjoying Elizabeth trying to get with Nicholas. And Brooklyn's not having it. That's classic soap. Fun stuff. But they're choosing to get rid of her. I think it's sad. But again, in this economic thing, they need to cut corners. They're cutting corners with her. But I feel from a creative point of view, it sucks. It sucks big.
But GH I'm very is upset. Going to be the last to go. I think it's going to be.
Yes.
We're thinking, there was rumors online that the first to go from ABC would be All My Children before One Life.
Well, the guy who listens to our podcast that I'm in love with that I want to marry, him.
Which one, Jordan Hudson?
He told me about this site, Ravenous or some Raven something or other. You had mentioned that site to me a long time ago. So I looked it up, and she kind of blindly, she didn't come out and say it, but it did seem like it's All My Children now that's going to be on the chalking. It seems that it's All My Children that's the one that they're considering canceling. It seems like ABC might have to be forced to cancel one.
It's the worst one of all of them.
Sorry, but it is. And it's also the one that they keep investing money in.
And it keeps not returning.
And it keeps not returning.
You know why? Because they
mismanagement of money. If you're paying this idiot $1 million a year.
Not even just, well, that's, but that all comes from one person. Besides Brian Franz. Crap Others. That's her freaking decision. She's a piece of crap. I'm telling you. Judy Crap Others, I wish you would call me or make a lunch date with me because I would tell you to your face, you're a piece of crap. You'll kill my show and I don't like you.
This is why,
my show from 1970, whatever. You kill my show.
She's kidding. She's the thingest since day one.
I'll have road rage on you in the post office. I will tell you you're a bitch and you ruined my show. I ain't that old, but.
Oh, anyway, say what you want about him. I like to say he's my future ex-husband, but Frank Valentini or Valenti or whatever his name is, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to budget that show. One Life to Live is never hurting for extras. They're never hurting for supporting characters. They're never hurting for sets. Somehow, all these veterans are on the show. They're getting airtime. Again, I got to tell you, I'm in love with One Life to Live again. I'm in love with it. Why? Because it's been fun.
And you have 6 minutes to talk about
it. It's been fun. Echo, Dorian, and Vicky had the only scenes this week. And you know I'm not a big Vicky fan, but Vicky was great as hell with Echo. See, this is why Kim Zimmer...
You're not a Vicky fan?
That was good. Kim Zimmer needs to stay on the show. I love Vicky. Let me tell you something. The fight scene they had, Mama Hudson was walking by, and Mama Hudson stopped to watch.
Really?
She's like, really? That's the way they behave? She goes, oh my God. I was like, yes, and I'm loving every minute of it.
These old dames are the best. Best.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's why you need the veterans doing, because the veterans Absolutely. Know how to do it right. Let me tell you. She goes, and Kim Zimmer looks at them and she says, oh, really? This is the way it is now? She goes, you know what? The minute I'm gone and the two of you don't have me to gang up on, you two are gonna be at each other's throats all over again.
Did she take off her clip-on earrings and put Vaseline on?
She might as well, girl. They got into such a fight. Vicky finally threw her out of the house. Dorian was there to back Vicky up, and Vicky's telling her, you gotta go. I'm done with you. Get out of my house. And Echo's like, are you? And the look on Kim Zimmer's face is like, you're not serious. And she's like, yes, I am serious. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go pack your bags now. And Vicky goes up, and then Echo tries to follow, and Dorian jumps in the staircase and goes, where do you think you're going? They were all ghetto. I was like, work, bitches. I was like, work, bitches. And she's like ready to throw down with her. Dorian was like, and she goes, and Kim Zimmer was like, and who's going to, you're going to stop me? And Dorian goes, yeah. She was all on her face. I was like, work. I love those scenes. They were so good. And then the week before, when Bo confronted Clint, my God. I'm sorry. I know you don't like him, but I think he is brilliant as Clint.
Jerry Verdorn is getting better as Clint.
The episode
I still think he's the best
actor. With Clint, when Bo confronted Clint, That
much
was
easier
classic,
to play a villain than someone three-dimensional.
That was classic One Life to Live down. I felt like I was watching One Life to Live back in the 80s when the Buchanans were full force. This is that was it. Those are people, I'm really tired of you people thinking that Clint's evil. I gotta tell you, you guys seem to have like this forgetting memories. People
are you
like,
insulting our viewers? And
yeah,
listeners?
Because let me tell you something. Y'all forgetting Asa,
that's nasty.
Adam, and Palmer did some really grimy things. We need Clint on the show right now because they don't have that anymore. Everybody's always making it seem like Palmer and Adam were these lovey, like fuddy-duddy, love, you know, older people. No, they were villains. They did some horrible things.
Horrible.
Horrible things. Horrible. And Asa, let me tell you something. You know what Asa did?
What?
Asa slept with two of Bo's women. He stole his three women.
Oh, I love it.
Asa was not a nice guy. So you know what? Clint's only doing what his father did. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. But you know what I'm loving even more? I want to live right now.
What?
John Ho. The Bollywood people. Oh, my God.
I didn't even know.
Yes.
Really?
Vimal. Vimal, cool. Clint's assistant. The Indian guy. You remember Vimal. You stopped watching it. They introduced Vimal's wife, Rama.
Oh, love it. Love
this girl
it.
Is the star of the show right now. Let me tell you something.
That is freaking brilliant. That,
I gotta tell
brilliant?
You. And you know who she's friends with?
Who?
That blonde hussy that's trying to take Joey for all his money. Aubrey. She's friends with Aubrey. I
can't stand her. She's milquetoast.
And I'm gonna tell you something.
Right? Am I right though?
Yeah. She's, look, I'm not gonna say Terry Conn is not the most horrible actress. She's not Gigi or Snatchley. I can tolerate her.
She plays herself every character.
She just plays herself. She's not that great.
Boring.
Another actress would have done such
and
work
not
with
that
this
sexy.
Character.
She's playing opposite this real sexy man. She ain't that sexy.
Oh my God, isn't he hot?
He's so freaking hot.
He's
she's,
so
she's
hot.
She's like milquetoast.
But let me tell you something.
Boring.
The Indian girl,
yeah,
Rama,
yeah.
She
should make love to him. Ha!
Wait, she found out.
What?
She found out that Aubrey, because she told Aubrey something in confidence. Mm. Well, she told Aubrey what Vimal did for Clint about the switching of the thing. So when Clint was after Aubrey, Aubrey blackmailed Clint with that information.
Can I just say something?
What?
There is no way to say that name, Aubrey, and make it sound elegant. Anyway. That is the worst, ugliest name.
Know.
It makes me think of the girl on the LA Ink show, Aubrey.
Aubrey.
Listen, Aubrey. There was this Brooklyn guy who'd be like, listen, Aubrey.
So let me tell you something.
Horrible.
So when she finds out, when Vimal tells Rama that he got fired and that Clint, he goes, somebody told, and you're the only person that I told, she realized that it was Aubrey. So she had this scene where she went to confront Aubrey. This girl should have been cast as Aubrey. She would have, because she's sexy, she's hot, and she's a great actress.
The Indian girl?
Yeah, she blew Aubrey out of the water in that scene. She confronted, and she was a total soap diva bitch. She told her, she goes, Aubrey's like, oh, is there a problem, Rama? She goes, yes, there's a problem. She goes, and we need to talk. And her eyes and the inflections in her voice.
This
girl was fierce. She had the only scenes. And she basically told Aubrey, you fix this. And she goes, is that a threat? And she turns around with her gorgeous black hair. She did it over the shoulder like Susan Lucci. And she was just like, and she walked out. I was like, work, bitch! I was like, work! I was like, Jai Ho! I want Bollywood and Landview! And Vimal's a hot little Indian boy. I love Vimal. I'm telling you, One Life to Live is the place to be. And as much as I hate Snatching and all of this, this whole storyline came to a pivotal point this week as the wedding came along.
No, it's not really. You mean there's a point
to
all this stupidity?
The truth came out. Yes,
the
truth has come out. Well, I haven't seen Friday's episode. I'm behind. I got it. But everything's come out. Marty got her memory back.
Okay. She's not crazy no more?
She's not crazy. She realizes that what's going on. She went to go see, and I have to see Friday's. Thursday ended with her coming to see John. But the truth is going to come out because we saw the coming attractions.
What is the truth?
That Brody slept with...
he's the father of both of them.
No, I don't think he's the father of either one of them. I think that John is the baby's father. And I think that Ford is the baby. I think Brody went from having two to none. Which is sad for
really?
Brody. And then Echo has this great storyline with Shane, her grandson, where he's getting bullied in school. See, One Night to Live is rocking this week. One Night to Live is really rocking this week. I'm loving me some One Night to Live this week. The veterans get some. I'm even liking Joey and Kelly together. They were really cute.
I'm trying to find out what the scoop is.
On what?
On Brody. What the answer is.
Oh, Brody. Ooh, look at those photos. Oh, my God.
I'm on my iPhone looking at him.
Oh, my.
He's so hot. Man. Oh my God, he's so hot. I love him.
What a shame that such a good looking man should be damaged in such a way.
I would like to make love to him too.
Why does he have to be straight?
Please, will you make love to me, please?
Why does he have to be straight?
That makes me happy.
Wouldn't he be great? Wouldn't he be great as my husband? Wouldn't we have beautiful babies?
Oh, my God, you would have beautiful babies. With very good bone structure.
I know. We'd have beautiful babies. And imagine the
and
fun.
Very good pets.
Imagine the fun we'd have trying. Don't worry. Just keep going. It'll take.
I was going to say, you can try a lot. I'm thinking it may not happen.
I'll just keep telling. We'll just keep trying, baby.
All right, listen. You have negative 1 minute. Do you have anything else to say? He's just drooling. Stop. You're drooling on my iPhone. Oh, if it gets God, water damage, gorgeous. I can't return it.
He is. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. No, I'm loving me one eye. I got to catch up on all my children. I will catch up on all my children. I really will.
Anything else to add? I ended up watching the whole Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I don't know. I'm disgusted with you and these reality shows. I got to give my sister my Friday Night Lights. That's her DVD.
You're in trouble because you're not going to get it for 3 weeks.
You've had it for like a freaking year and you never watched it. I gave it to her a year ago.
I have 20-month-old children. When do I watch even all my children? Seriously.
You have time to watch The Real Housewives of
Beverly
Hills.
It's like a half hour at a pop. It's nothing. I could do it while I'm making dinner.
Disgusting. Meanwhile, I'm trying to watch every show. I'm falling so behind. I'm going to have to give up something.
You know what is really good, though, about the fact that you watch all this television show?
What?
When all my children get canceled, we could still have a podcast. It's excellent. I could be reality. I'll have to get Melissa's help.
You and Melissa could do reality.
We could do reality. She could help me because I don't know nothing about reality. And you could do prime time.
You could do prime time.
You've been brilliant. Movies? Do you see SAG Awards? I saw SAG Awards.
No.
I saw that Black Swan.
I either people hate it or love it. And I got to tell you, most people I talk to that seen it hate it.
I hated it.
People hate it. They're not getting it at all.
I'm not getting it. Is there something for me to get? Am I too stupid not to understand?
That's what my friend Debbie told me.
Jesus.
She was telling me, she said...
Excuse me, Darren Aronofsky, if I'm a stupid idiot.
She goes,
I don't get your masterpiece.
My friend Debbie told me that. She goes, you know, I don't consider myself a stupid person, but I just didn't get it. I was just like, and...
It's so stupid.
And so, I don't know. I haven't seen it. The one that I'm dying to see is The King's Speech or whatever that I want to see.
I have it.
I have it, too. I got to see it. I got a copy, too. I got a legit copy too. All right.
I don't want nobody thinking I got no bootlegs.
With somebody standing up and you see their big head as they're going. I hate that. That's so ghetto. I'm trying to think of what other. See, you don't watch Good Wife. The Good Wife is so good.
I don't watch Good Wife.
What else am I watching? It's really good right now. I can't think. I'm so burnt, girl.
You love the Good Wife.
This job. I got to find another job. I'm gonna kill these queens.
Oh, you know what I was surprised about?
I'm so gonna kill these queens. I'm so stressed out.
The whole HBO. What the hell is that? Boardwalk Cafe.
Oh. I was not amused at the Golden Globes.
Horrible.
You saw it?
No, I think the show's really awful.
I got to tell you, I saw...
I think Steve Buscemi is awful.
I got to tell you, I saw six... I don't know if we talked about this in the last podcast, did
Maybe.
We?
Maybe.
I saw only the first six episodes. I haven't seen the rest. I'm not going to say that I'm not going to watch it and that it's not entertaining and enjoyable. I'm just saying that I don't think it's all that.
For it
to win best drama, that's bullshit. I was very disappointed at the SAG Awards for that.
Did it get best cast also or something like that?
Oh, not the SAG Awards. It won best Golden Globe. At Golden Globe, it won best drama.
Steve Buscemi won best actor.
I gotta disagree with that wholeheartedly. I don't think he's the best actor at all. And I don't think that's the best show at all.
He doesn't seem like a major kingpin to me.
There's moments that he's believable, but there's a lot of moments where
he's just whiny and nasally, and there's not a lot of moments.
I think the cast as a whole, yes, they're
very good.
But he is only half the time believable. Half the time he's not. I think it's really disgusting that he won Best Actor, and I think it's ridiculous the show won Best Show, honestly.
But listen, there's a SAG Awards, the actors vote, you know?
Not SAG, I'm talking about Golden Globes.
But you don't watch SAG Awards?
No, I don't watch. Girl, there are too many award shows. Next, you're going to be having the Bronx Awards. We should start our own awards, the Pine Valley Podcast Awards.
We should do an episode like that.
We should do it. And the winner for the best drama, the Pine Valley Podcast Best Drama Award goes to Not All My Children.
Oh, that's mean. On that note, if you want to write us and complain or compliment, what's that thing on the back of the truck? For compliments or complaints, call 1-800. Something like that, right? If you want to write us.
Unless you're Dominican, I don't want to hear it.
Oh, my God. We are in so much trouble with the Dominicans. I love you, Dominicans. It's just Jordan Hudson that hates you.
I don't hate them. I just hate the ones that are moving in my neighborhood.
All right, fine. If you want to write us, PVP at PineValleyPodcast.com. Go to our Facebook page if you want. Post a little ditty on the wall. We would love that. Ashley has a page. He's cracking himself up. Jordan has a page, and the Pine Valley Podcast has a page. Our blog site is so lovingly maintained by our wonderful Shadow. Oh, he's just killing himself right now. Shadow, who we'd like to thank. That is www.pinevalleypodcast.blogspot.com. We would like to thank... Hey, Shadow, have you called Luis? We need a new opening from you, Luis. We would like to thank Luis for his openings. We would like to thank, mention welovesoaps.net. We would like to mention daytimeconfidential.com. What else?
Oh, for those of you guys or girls that live in New York City, please, please, by all means, go this Wednesday to Pieces Bar. Pieces is a gay bar in the West Village on Christopher Street. Please go to Pieces between 7 and 9. Florencia Lozano, who plays Tea Delgado on What I Like to Live, is going to be there for a porn bingo. Will Clark show. Please show up.
Did you say porn bingo?
Yeah, that's the name of it.
What the hell is that?
Well, Will Clark is a porn star who hosts porn bingo at Pieces to get money for AIDS charities.
Oh, phew. Scared me a second there.
And I was living when I found out that Miss Florencia is going to be the guest star
this
week.
She's the best. She is the absolute best.
February 9th, this Wednesday, people. And if you're lucky, you might see me there, so.
Oh, my God!
Look for me!
He looks a lot like Norn Cutson, Norn's photo of him.
I don't look like that.
We talked about that.
I look a little bit like that. I'm not that. Well, I don't have no mustache.
You don't have a mustache.
I don't have no mustache.
You have the body and you have
the
short hair.
That body's way bigger than my body.
You have the brown eyes.
I have the brown eyes and the short hair. I wish I had that. You know who that... No.
Listen, if you see anyone that looks remotely like Norn's rendition of Jordan Hudson, it's Jordan Hudson. Go up to him and give him a kiss.
Yeah, so go support.
He always has good breath, so give him a kiss.
Go support Florencia and you get to meet her and you can tell how fabulous she is because I love her and I think she's fabulous.
I will not be there. I will be in Port St. Lucie, Florida. If you are there, that's where I will be.
And if I don't come back to the podcast, it's because I'm in prison because I murdered one of the queens that I work with at the bar.
I might
murder somebody. I got to work there tonight.
I
keep saying Toronto, Toronto, Toronto. And as much as I want to go to Toronto, I don't know. I don't know if I can hang on. This job is working my last nerve. Oh, and watch Being Erica. The new season of Being Erica started. We're 2 seasons in and I live for this show. It is like a therapy session for me. This week helped me out with my life so beautifully. Thank you, Being Erica. Thank you, Canada. I love you. I'm going to move to Toronto. I have to.
We love all of you, especially the Canucks. And we are so grateful that you spent yet another hour and plus with us.
All four of you.
All four of you. We tremendously love you tremendously. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
This is a story of boy meets girl. The boy, Wally, pronounced Wale, not Wale or Whale or whatever, of Washington, D.C., grew up believing that he'd never truly be happy until the day he met his soulmate. This belief stemmed from early exposure to 90s R&B music and a total misreading of the movie, The Bodyguard. The girl, Carmen, of Kalamazoo, Michigan, did not share this belief. Since the disintegration of her parents' marriage, she had only loved two things. The first was her Barbies. The second was how easily she could switch Kens and feel nothing. This is a story of boy meets girl. But you should know up front, this is not a love story.
See, breaking up is hard to move along. It's even harder. It's over. She got colder now. Can't locate where her heart is. And I'm just being honest. Since we not even talking, my mind won't let you go. Should even consider stalking. Now, you know I be teasing.
was forever love. Guess that was the season, no. She got back with her old boy. Probably had a reason, no. Although thought that we would grow. Guess that wasn't feasible. But we ain't gotta be deep, no. I miss you at my recent show. I speak to CJ often, and sometimes I just wanna speak you up. Yeah, hit you up, or call you up, or send a text. Your new man got my respect, so if I do call, it's just a check. Heard that you are I, though. My nigga for life, though. It's funny how this life go. We love for a while, then the light goes. Took me a while just to write those. Pride I had to fight, so I'ma stop right there. And I know you don't care, but I hope you got that bike, boo.
I love her smile. I love that purple lingerie she put on for me. I love the way she say my name. It's like, when I'm with her, anything's possible, you know? She makes life, like, worth it.
Really, dude? Come on, man. Get that out of here, man. This dude crazy.
Yeah, tell me about the love of us. Contemplate, I wrote about her. We no longer close to nothing. That's why she ignored my flowers and my call and my text. Spending her time with them, I guess. I regret some shit I did, but darling, is y'all intimate? Who was better? I know I was. Told you lie, don't blow my buzz. You ask me who I'm stoking now. I say that the pool is closed. Can we stay broken up? And all these pages, close them up. I hope we both do learn from this. So my next joke don't gotta be so rough, huh? Gotta get better with time. Relationships should never rewind. Better leave it all behind. Guess that mean you can never be mine. Well, there's a but. Without you, love is cold as fuck. Life is a movie, we both say cut. But most times, darling, the sequel sucks.
You gonna do this over a text, though? A text.
It's just not working out. How about you call me when you're ready to be friends?